So not too long ago, we got to witness something awesome. Something that America does really well. Which is blast ourselves into space. And it was fucking sweet. I love watching that. Artemis 2 was an awesome thing. The whole family gathered around the TV, pulled it up, did the countdown. It was awesome. But I always think whenever I see one of those that I'm like, oh man, that'd be so cool to do. Could you guys, would you go to space if given the chance? Because they have given the opportunity sometimes.
No, we're not.
No?
No. Capital fuck, capital no.
Because God knows the one time I go up, they're going to be like, oh yes, we had this strange impact with the ship, and now all of a sudden there's this interesting life form we've never seen before. And then I'd die to alien. That's what would happen. I'd be that guy.
But yeah. the opportunity to die to an alien.
I'd like to die on Earth, thank you.
I would 100%. I do not think my other half would let me, though. Because too worrisome.
She loves space, though.
Yeah.
She loves space from afar.
she loves looking at the artistic hand of God from here, not yeah. not being out there.
She'd be like, can't you work on an antenna or something?
You're like, yes, I can. On the spaceship.
On the International Space Station. You're right.
I would 1,000% go. In fact, like, I've thought about it. Like, if commercial space travel becomes available sometime in my life, like I'm 70 years old and I can afford it, I would do it.
Yeah. Yeah. I right now, I would be, okay, so like, if given the opportunity, I want a lottery, whatever, to do it, right? I would be super excited to go. And then the moment that I like got there and had the suit on, I would be like, oh, fuck. Like,
oh, realization will hit hard.
The reality would hit very, very quickly in that moment. I think it would still do it.
Alternate questions. Would you have to choose one, go to space or bottom of the ocean?
Space.
Space.
Yeah. Yeah. Space.
100%. I choose space too.
The ocean is fucking terrifying.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, at least we know in the space there's not much up there. I mean, besides, you know, asteroids, meteors, all that stuff. But in the ocean, fuck that shit.
There's probably more ways to die if you go to space. But the one way you can die going under the bottom of the ocean is just horrifying.
Yeah.
My submarine would go down and I'd hit something soft and I'd realize that I hit right on top of Cthulhu as he slept.
Right.
It's like, all right, now the universe is ending and it's John's fault.
That'd be kind of dope, honestly.
Yeah, if you summon the old one.
The John Apocalypse.
I just wanted to go down to see the sperm whales and I woke up Cthulhu. Fuck!
Like, damn it, John!
Dude, that would be a great movie. It would be called John Apocalypse, The Last Millennial.
Yes, yes.
Oh. Yep, The Last Millennial.
You've got to fit that in.
It's like, John, did you wake up Cthulhu? And he just shrugs. It's like,
I like putting The Last Millennial next. It's like our final spite for fucking up the world
exactly.
Just end the universe.
Right as we entered adulthood.
But Kelly has a great point here, because out in space, you can, you know, they're what are the chances that you get hit by, like, a rock that's, like, you know, hurtling through space? It's, like, you know, 10 billion to 1 or something like that, right? But down below, something goes, like, you know, catastrophically wrong, and, you know, like, who knows what's down there? We have not mapped to the bottom. We don't know what's going on down there. And I fully believe that there are way bigger squids.
there definitely is.
Yeah.
There's always a bigger fish.
There's always a bigger squid.
I'll put it like this. It's like the sheer fact of like the atmospheric pressure, like this, how deep some people can go. I mean, like, it's obviously like what happened to that one billionaire sub that just imploded in a fraction of a second.
Yep.
Like, it's just the amount of technology and like armor required to survive those depths just feels like it's more intense than anything. You know, going to space, yeah, you have to, oh God, the calculations alone. I mean, I couldn't even fathom the sheer amount of computer equations, you know?
Oh, yeah, the
launch.
Well, I was going to say, have you seen there's that famous picture of, like, the one woman that she, hand wrote, all of the programming that went into like whatever the first
like 12 binders, and each binder is 6 inches thick.
That was as tall as her. Like, she hand wrote all that, and it's like that's what they do daily, and like that's how intensely they have to be. And so it's like that's why I think I trust that more, is because the seriousness that NASA takes their work is it is just unmatched.
Yeah, any billionaire can go into the bottom of the ocean and get killed.
Clearly not. Also, I think Moore should try. Find Atlantis, please. Build a submarine and go.
Just keep going to the Titanic.
If they found Atlantis, we would cheer them. If they did it, we would all applaud. They should do it.
Just don't make your submarines out of fucking plastic, dumbasses.
No. That's the point, John. What then to make them out of plastic? I don't know if you're catching on here.
I want them to make these submarines with all the efficiency of late-stage capitalism.
The hull was plastic, and we got all the valves from fucking Price and Gannon. I don't know what went wrong.
So, I want to back to space here. Have you guys heard of the Fermi paradox?
No. I heard of it. I can't remember which one that is, though, because there's multiple ones.
Yeah.
I played Outer Wilds.
Okay. Oh, yeah. I watched that. That was a lot of fun. So the Fermi paradox is, so we feel like we're alone in the universe, right? And so the idea is we are either completely alone, or because the universe is so infinite, then why haven't we come in contact with like other intelligent life, because there has to be other intelligent life out there that has like far exceeded us because the universe is so infinite. So it's the balance of like, all right, well, we're definitely alone, because if we weren't alone, we would have been found already, blah, blah, blah. And so I think that that's why a lot of people are like scared of like going into space. But I'm like, dude, I would meet an alien like real quick. I wouldn't even care if I get like vaporized.
Oh no, I would love to meet an alien, but I mean, there's just with space travel, it's the same thing with me going underwater, like, and trusting the hull of it, a whole bunch of stuff. Plus, not to mention that unless we're talking Star Trek rules, where, you know, things are a little bit safer on each ship, like, you're not, especially with gravity, because that's, like, the biggest issue is, like, going to space and coming back, like, your muscles are kind of, like, really get jacked up a little bit.
Oh yeah, a lot of them end up atrophying. They have to put a lot of work in to actually like do a lot of that stuff, because they can just float for most of their day.
Oh yeah.
For the record, I don't think intelligent alien life has ever visited us.
No, me neither. I mean, it's
very
it's,
controversial take there, Kel.
A lot of people believe in aliens on Earth.
Hey, a lot of people are also fucking idiots.
God. I mean, not understand how vast space is. I think that's a very common thing.
But people
understand how the distance it would take to get here.
The number of light years that it, you know, the distance to the moon is insane. Like, I don't even know how long it takes to get to the moon is like what we have now.
3 days.
But it's like, yeah, but I mean, that's as good as the technology is now. So it's like, you know, to get to the next planet, what would that be? You know, like I forget what it is to Mars.
It's like, even if we like discovered and have the ability to power like wormhole technology, where you basically bending space time, you'd leave Earth, you'd get wherever you're going, and Earth would be gone where you left it. Like, there's no going back. You'd be essentially traveling to the future.
Yeah.
And like, who wants to do that? I mean, I guess if your world's dying or whatever, I guess like if you did have that technology, you use it, but like,
right.
It wouldn't matter to any of us.
Right.
You'd never see them again.
Or you just don't have attachments. I mean, you're just like, fuck it.
Yeah.
New world.
The statistic that I read that like blew my mind was that like, if intelligent life was on some galaxy or something, or, you know, some other solar system somewhere, and then they were looking at us now, because of whatever distance it was, they would still see dinosaurs, because the light has not traveled to reach whatever it was. And I was like, that's insane to me. It's insane they would see dinosaurs, which lived millions of years ago.
They're like, we're not going on there. There's giant lizards.
They're scary.
I will say, though,
oh, that's so dim.
I did see something very interesting online. It was a question thread. It was like, if we were able to shoot out a message into space, just a message looking for intelligent life, what would be the response we could get that would be the most scary? And this was one of the top comments. I thought it was so good.
Yep. Oh, so I know.
We are blasting it out into the ether. I've told you just a million times, Jake.
Yeah.
But it was, don't, or be quiet, they'll hear you.
Mm-hmm. That's the one. That's the thing you need to think about when you're
down to sleep. That's some 40K shit. That's terrifying as hell.
Shut up.
Oh, I mean, all I'm saying is that NASA recently confirmed 6,000 exoplanets outside of our solar system, and that's pretty freaking cool.
Well, on this planet of Galarian, we're dealing with a little shady guy. Last episode, we encountered a man by the name of Brigvin. Garn, you played an excellent... senile old guy? Were you pretending to be drunk? I forget what the bit was.
Drunk and I had to pee.
Drunk and you had to pee, yeah. We've all been there. We've all been there.
It was method acting.
Yeah. Those moments of just like, oh my god, I should have peed before I left the bar.
Should have peed before this episode started.
And you came upon this guy named Brigvin. Who he has this shitty little smithy that it looks like he's been struggling on this. And when you come up, he clearly has somebody else's work, and it looks as though he's trying to replicate it. And he's doing this, by the way, when everybody has ended their shift for the day. Like, he's the only person in the, like, smithing guild quarters where everybody else is working. And it looks like he's not supposed to be here because, like, everybody else has left. And at the very end of the episode, he pulled a short sword out. And he was threatening you. And he pretty much takes his short sword out, Tim, points it at Garn, and sort of, like, makes a motion to, like, shoo. He's just like, get out of here. We don't need this.
And I actually remember Garn pulled out his Morning Star, and it began to thrum with the literal God's blood that flows through him. And he's like, you do not want to do that, friend. Put down your weapon and you may save your life.
You're in my shop, my smithy. You got no reason to be here. This ain't your business.
It is my business if you are copying others' business. And he kind of nods or stares at the bag where he tried to shuffle away the forgery.
Mm-hmm.
This seems to be a forge of forgery. Is it not?
This is my forge. No forgery is happening here.
Well, then, you wouldn't care to explain why you have someone else's work there with you.
I don't need to explain anything to you.
Ah, but you do, for we were dubbed deputy investigators of the city of... Was it Korsakov? Korsakov? Sakharov is a big one.
You don't even know the city you're in, you fool.
I have lived 250 years as I've seen you have as well. Surely you've forgotten a city name every now and again.
I'm 246, never forgot one.
And he lists 50 of them.
I feel like... Sandor's sitting in the corner of this building just staring at Ambrose being like, I can flatten this fucking building. Like, pretty easily.
So that does bring up the question. Where is everybody? Because I know, Kesri, you were invisible, right?
I'm invisible.
Okay. Garn, you were sort of on like the entrance to where his smithy is. Sandor and Ambrose, where are you guys? Because I know that each of you guys were sort of looking around and just keeping an eye on you.
Yeah. Well, when I saw them, obviously Kezra flying down and grabbing Garn and all this stuff, Sandor was going to actually make his way to, like, the... he's not visible. Like, maybe he's, like, at this corner or something. But okay. He is staying where he can see Garn.
So, within the vicinity, so...
Yes.
So, yeah, I have a map here from Timeless Tabletop. I found this nice little... a humble smithy map here on Reddit. So let's just go ahead, and it's getting pretty tense here. it's getting pretty tense in between this conversation from between Garn and Brick Veneer. Let's all roll for initiative.
All right. Dang.
Alrighty.
All right, Black Oak Workshop. Let's see that. Let's see that nice roll.
See that natural one, baby.
Ooh, natty four. I'm waiting for him to make the first move.
That's how you do it.
Careful, I'll fire another warning shot.
Ooh. Okay. Middling roll.
Okay. Going down the list here. Kezra, what'd you get?
32.
Cool.
32.
Turn it around, guys.
Yeah, I know.
Bad initiative, Kezra, is a thing of the past.
New city, new Kezra.
I'm a new orc. Ambrose.
28.
Sandor.
33.
Alright, and Garn, what was your poopy roll?
23.
23. That's pretty poop.
Yep.
It's pretty poop.
Yep. Almost as low as it can go.
I mean, it's probably what he needs to do now, too. I don't know.
Let's make this quick.
Alright, so Sandor, it is your turn first. However, I will say that, like, nothing's happened yet. They're sort of just, like, bickering at each other at the moment.
Yeah, Sandor will delay.
Okay.
He's got no reason to do anything right now.
Okay. Kezra, you are invisible. So obviously you tell me what you're doing. And then he has no idea you're here. He's focused on Garn. So
yeah,
where is he?
So I position myself next to him, and I'm going to attempt to steal the sword.
Okay.
Like the one he's wielding or the one on the table?
The one that he was concealing.
Okay.
Assuming that's not the one he's pointing at Garn.
No. He had like another one. So he had the two, yeah. So he had the one he was working on, and then he had the one that he was copying, and then he pulls out like a third.
Oh, a third one. I was about to say, if it's one he was like crappily making, I could just like literally destroy it with my mace.
Just take it and bash it over your head.
I sunder the blade.
Sunder, yes. That's a freaking good idea. Maybe I'll sunder his blade.
All right.
Smash.
So was the blade he was copying on the table, or did he put it in like a pouch on his backside?
He had shoved it into a pouch on his side. So he had tried to stealthily do it. So he just has like a bag on his side that as he was shuffling, he just kind of like whoop, and like shoved it in.
Okay. Well, I'm gonna try to steal it.
Yep.
Ugh. 27.
That is a fail.
Damn.
So you reach your hand in, and he feels the tugging, and he's like, "What?" And he reaches his hand out and tries to like backhand, like whatever that was. And he goes, "Ugh. What's going on here?" And he that was one action. So I don't know what you want to do now.
Try it again. Just he's just keep rifling through his pockets. He's like, what the fuck?
Give me that. I'm joking.
Kezra says,
"Drop your blade."
As I cast command, roll will save.
Oh!
All right.
Magical authority, love it.
31.
Oh, that makes it. It's a good one. He must spend the first action on his next turn to obey your command.
Oh, so he still has to obey it.
He still has to do it, but with his first action.
Okay. Okay, so... Oh, and that was a two-action thing?
That was a spell, yeah.
Okay, yeah, okay. Alright, then I guess it comes to his turn. So he spends his first action to drop that.
Just clang-a-clang.
Clink-clink-clink.
Why? Wise choice.
So he drops it, and he looks at you, he looks at Garn, because he was trying to look in, like, just your direction, Kezra, and he's just like,
"What's going on here? Forge Master."
And he's, like, looking around, and he looks up, and he looks at Garn again, and he's like,
"Explain this trickery."
And he's going to try to search. He's going to try to look for you, Kezra.
Yeah, I'm standing right there.
Yeah. let's see. Perception.
I smell alcohol coming from somewhere.
33.
Yeah, against my stealth DC.
Okay.
Yeah, that gets me.
Okay, so he is... Can he pick it up again, or does command... Does he follow the command, and then he can just do whatever he wants after that?
He can pick it up.
Okay. So he'll pick it up again and then point it in your direction. And then he's looking, like, in your direction and going,
Show yourself! There's some kind of racket here. You explain.
It would be easier if you just cooperated.
You can try me. You can try.
That is his turn. Ambrose, where are you? It is your turn.
I forgot I'm going last. I like any moment my turn. He's talking to me, and I'm like, oh yeah, I rolled terrible.
He's like, why isn't he responding? I'm talking to him, and he's just not sitting there.
Talk to me.
I will on my turn. I would say that he would take his entire turn in order to even get here, because he was like, I think if we're positioning thing, he was like watching and he saw that one person that was just delayed and like that.
The woman who's working on the stiletto.
So yeah, he was, so like in this case, like Kezra is like flying down all that stuff and he notices it. So he's hurrying himself over there, but he's not. So this entire turn, I would say he finally gets here and goes, oh my, what is going on here?
Okay. And then it comes to Garn.
All right. Garn just looks at him. It's like, no trickery. Only do as you are told. But it does not seem like you are willing to do so. Fine. The hard way. And he bashes his shield, his Morningstar on his shield, and he lets go of his shield, and he launches himself at the guy to grapple him.
Okay.
Right. You have to have at least one hand free.
Oh, right. Yep.
I don't know if it'll do it with a 29.
That is just a success, actually.
Oh, wow. Nice.
So you go up and you grab him. How do you grapple him? He's not pinned or anything like that. You just have a grip on him.
Yeah. Oh, I do, yeah. Fun. So I draw. I think what I do is, as I'm coming in to grab him, I knock away his sword, not out of his hand, but knock away his sword with my Morningstar to kind of give me an opening. And then I just kind of like, I try to, you know, quote, pin him down, but not restraining, like pin him down with my one arm.
Okay.
Against the bench that he's right next to. And with like the Morningstar kind of holding the other like sword hand.
Okay. Like,
you will not win this. I have legions of men at the ready, and giving you a chance to save your own skin, or I can be strung up with the rest. I guess I could roll deception if you want, because that's a lie.
What's your definition of a legion of men? Just
Sanders out front smoking a black and mild, like, yeah, I count as that.
I'm like two people, man.
I'm like two people.
Magic is worth 1,000, man, so that makes sense. So
21 on the deception.
Okay. He does not believe you. So much that he laughs and spits in your face.
Oh, try me.
Kezra, kill him.
Alright, is that your whole turn then?
Yeah, it's my whole turn. Because okay. I had to move to get to him, grapple, yep. And then I tried the deception.
Sandor.
This is... I mean, are we really going loud here?
It's middle of the night. I mean... I don't think, like...
Sandor will walk over to here so he can see the dwarf.
Oh, shit. Okay.
And he will use, I guess, intimidation... Hold on, let me see if I'm actually decent at that.
Okay.
I'm not Benson anymore.
Wait, am I good at that?
Oh, man, I am not. Wow, okay.
Use your arcana check. Wow, with your knowledge of the arcane.
Believe me, I would.
That was an option. Does magic impress you?
Guys, if we ever have to talk to anybody, do not ask me to do anything. Oh my god, I'm dead. You know what? I'm just going to shoot an electric arc at the guy.
Okay. Yeah.
Taser.
Don't chase me, bro.
I'll say this. As you walk around and you get this spell ready, he looks at you walking up and he goes,
Forestmaster, no, please. I'm trying.
Oh.
Uh-oh.
Oh.
Is there any check I can roll with Forgemaster?
Yeah. Go ahead and roll Dwarf Lore, Religion, something along those lines.
You could have stopped at Dwarf Lore.
John's like, I've been waiting for this.
And I just rolled a natural fucking 20. That's a 42, in case you needed
to know. Oh my gosh.
You know so much about dwarves.
For a split moment in his panic, he called you the name of the Hringar Dwarven Elder God, Vriskari.
Oh. Oh no. Alright.
That's just me.
Yep, that's me.
That's me.
What? You said Droskari is his name?
Yeah, Droskari, yeah. It's the Droskari. It's the old dwarven god that was all about, like, guile and stealing and slavery and all that kind of stuff, and was just like, yeah, if you need to employ slaves, that's fine, because you're getting work done. Like, that's his whole thing, his whole thing.
Guys, we got a timeline. I don't care how you do it. Just get it done. Fuck. All right, I'll just say to the room, follower of Droskari, old dwarf god, angry, mad, like slaves.
Okay. Kezra, it's your turn.
Kezra will say to him, though he's still invisible,
you have to tell us what you're doing here. And you should take us to the people who gave you that sword. It's the only way that you're actually going to complete this work.
And roll a will save.
Oh.
Okay.
Wow, okay. They're really pulling into the deep spell cache.
How's a natural one?
That's perfect. Oh, exactly what we needed.
I just cast Subconscious Suggestion.
Okay.
So now, all right. So I give him a subtle task that he has to follow out basically until its completion. But it has to be like something logical. It can't be self-destructive. It can't be like this isn't dominate. So it's like I'm telling him, like, if he's going to actually complete this work, he needs to tell us what's going on and take us to the people.
Okay.
I promise if you do this, you'll be able to complete this work right.
And then Kezra will drop the invisibility.
Okay. It comes to his turn. And he stops struggling. And he's just like,
Droskari, I know not what your plans are. But if this is your will.
And he looks at all of you and he's just like,
oh, Droskari, He wants me to tell you all about the great work that he does. Yes, that's what it is. That's what's going on. Yes.
That's right, brother. Why else would we come in the dark of the night?
Right. Well, you see, the guild's been shutting me down for 36 years. I was never able to become a part of the Craftsman's Guild. And all of these other ones around me, they took up the council seats. They took up all the memberships, and they never let me. They never let me do it. They never let me flourish. I'm a good one.
And he points at his, like, stock behind him, and it's all bad. Like, it's kind of just like the guy who could just never fucking get to, like, get his shit to work. And there's, like, bends in some of the stuff, and you're just like, man, this guy is just, like, not doing it.
For decades I've been trying, and here I am. The sign of Draskari is here. But you're not. Are you with him?
And so he's looking at you, Garn, and you, Kezra, and he's pointing at Sandor. He almost thought, he seems to think Sandor was like a sign from Draskari himself.
So he's like asking if we're aligned with Sandor,
yeah,
more or less.
Can you see him?
And I look over my shoulder. I look back. I say, of course, brother. Of course. The same blood that flows through you flows through me. Is it not? Our ancestry, birth from the earth, as is his. And he motions over to Kezra. It's like we are all a part of the earth, a part of the great quest for sky, and some of us have found our way back down here to reconnect with what is truly important. And that is why we have been sent to help complete this great work. As Brother Kezra has said.
So Sandor is going to step up and go, would you like to see Draskari's blessing?
Please. I've been asking those people I talked to. They said they're the ones who gave me this idea. I knew that his blessing would come.
Okay.
I've been trying for a year now. I think it's been so long.
A year.
Then feel the blessing. As Sandor cast torturous trauma on him.
what does that do?
That is a cantrip.
Okay.
Rare. That's cantrip.
A cantrip?
Oh, yep. God. Yes.
With this spell, born of Kimbrel's sadistic love of torture, you better a creature's internal organs, leaving no external signs of immense pain. The target takes bludgeoning damage with 1d4 and is also fatigued on a failed fortitude save.
Okay, fortitude.
After we went over the whole Draskari thing, I saw this cantrip, I'm like, he knows this.
So, as a fail, it was the 24.
Kelly, do me a favor real quick. How do I adjust the damage for my spell level?
Oh, if you're using Foundry, if you hit cast on that spell, it should give you, like, the heightened version of it.
Hold on. Oh, wait. Yep, okay. Let me get my dice roller out here.
Okay. God, there's going to be so much damage to his guts.
I can't believe he's been doing this for a year. A year.
Oh,
that's a long time.
Yeah. So he's been trying to get into the guild for like decades, and he just couldn't do it.
Yeah. So he's been working for the Triad for a year. That's a long.
Well,
time.
Draskari specifically. He didn't say anything about the Triad.
Yeah. He's probably just taking all routes possible to be like, I'm good. I swear, I'm good at this.
Yeah.
That is 16 points of bludgeoning damage to his internal organs.
Okay.
And he is now fatigued.
So, all of a sudden, you just see him, like, hold his stomach, and he's just like, and he, like, keels over, and he's, like, holding his chest and his abdomen, and he's just like,
Forge Father, I'm sorry. I'll try harder. I'll work. I'll employ these if you want me to.
And he's like looking up at you, still feeling like there's some sort of connection between you and Draskari, even though you know you've cut that pretty hard.
Man, so
Sandor is done. He does not want any more to do with this.
So is it really just this dude who sucks at making weapons that sneaks in here at night?
Well, this is his own smithy.
I think that like whoever he's feeding these weapons to, maybe they're the ones who are actually doing the swap. That's what I'm thinking. We must make haste, must we not? The weapon is finished. We must be here to help you deliver it. Or the Forge Father will not be pleased. You have tasted his blessing once. You must hurry, so blessed you taste it again.
Can you make me a deception roll?
I'm so bad at deception!
Part of my suggestion was him taking us to the people he's working with.
Yeah.
Aren't you really good at deception? Why don't you say anything, Kezra?
Why are you ready?
Kelly's like, because you're blabbing too much. You're blabbing too much, Tim. Yeah, you're right. Oh, shut my gosh. I'm so bad. Only 19. I rolled a natural 6, by the way.
Okay. So, I was gonna say I'm looking at it wouldn't succeed here. So he's just like, well, explain yourselves. If you're working for him, no, what's going on? You explain. And he points at Kezra.
Thank God.
Look, you need to take us. We can help you deliver these goods. Promise, nothing bad will happen to you, and in fact, you will get better.
So he's under the suggestion right now where he has to finish the work for tonight, right? Or whatever he was doing.
I told him to tell us about the work and to take us to the people he's working with.
Okay.
And he needs to do that in order to actually succeed here.
Yeah. So he kind of calms down. And he just goes,
fine, look. All these decades I've been trying, and here, the Forge Master, he gave me an out. He told me that if I ruin the reputation of the others, especially that goddamn Goldbeard, that then I could rise up. I could use them as stepping stones to get into the guild. It was a flawless plan. I just wasn't good enough. I just need to try harder.
You take us to the Forge Master.
Well, I can. I've never met him. I just talked to people that knew of him and that revered his power and his might.
Like a church.
So he. He's really conflicted about something. Like, even with that natural one, and he's, like, kind of, like going back and forth. His eyes are twitching.
He's just like, I can point you in the direction. But that's all. That's all I can do.
We don't want to get you in trouble.
That's not our intention. There.
And he points. And the way that he points, he comes up to the street and he sort of points down the street. And it's a clear path all the way up to the wall.
The wall.
Right, that's all I can say. Ears are listening constantly. The great Forge Master told me. He told me that ears are always listening, always keeping an eye out for trying to usurp my good work. Everything I've done.
I think I'm gonna go out on a limb, and I'm gonna say, we'll be sure this was a test. We'll be sure to let Chisel Rock know that you have passed.
Oh, you're trying to put Chisel Rock's name in here?
Yeah, to see, because he's put into the wall, just sort of got arrested, and you know, maybe he's like, yeah, yeah.
You do that, and he just goes,
all right.
All right.
Oh, there we go.
Good instincts there, old man.
So from here, he just looks around and he's like,
I need to keep working. Don't go far.
Before we leave, can't you give the man a couple pointers at least?
Oh, yeah, sure.
I give him a little, like, 10-minute tutorial, show him, like, better folding techniques. How to hold his hammer right, get the right leverage. How long to heat the metal? He wasn't doing it well enough. He wasn't doing it long enough.
You guys ever watched Forge and Fire?
I think I watched it like one time with you. It looks great.
Is that the one where they had people make weapons and they had to cut like corn and a giant like hock of pig or something?
Yeah.
So, ice.
Basically.
Oh, okay.
The first. Everyone is like separated in three parts. The first two, they're making a knife, and then the last one, they're making like whatever weapon, a kopesh, a katana, whatever it was. But like, there's always something that happens in that show, and I know it's a reality show, so like, you know, that like shit happens. But like, one of the first episodes, there was a guy who was like testing the durability of his blade, and he was like tapping it, and then it just shattered in half. And then he tried to like tack weld it afterwards. I was like, no.
That'll do it.
The blade is done, my guy. It's done.
Gotta redo it from scratch.
Mind you, they have 3 hours, and you know, that was, you know, hour 2 minutes and 30 seconds or something. So he was, even after all these decades, like, he was like still making some elementary mistake, whether how it came to like folding the metal or something like that over on itself. And you teach him something, and he's just like,
yes. Yes, I see it now. I see the blade's joining. The blade's joining in a way that it never has before. You need to get rid of all these other crappy blades. Let's get out of here.
Gather just walked out.
Why did I teach him blacksmithing? I don't give a shit about him. He's like mining
gold stuff. Yeah, I was really wondering that.
I mean, you could just purposely taught him wrong as joke.
He's an old ass dwarf. How come he can't do this on his own? It's apparently his life's passion. What the fuck am I doing?
Karn walked out, head held high. That identifies me as leader. He says to himself.
Why did you feed his ego, for fuck's sake? I don't care that you taught the bad guy how to forge. Why did you feed this one? Why?
Kezzer took it away from me.
He just keeps talking, and I just it just sometimes makes sense. He did a stupid like reaction spell where he has like, flowing blonde hair and shit. He just convinced me. It's all tricks. It's all tricks with this weird dude with his weird powers. Weird body.
And his fascination. I got it.
I always imagine when he does that with when Finn from Adventure Time. When he takes his hat off. I'm glad we all thought that of Garn. Okay. You guys have left. He reassures you that he's going to replace it, and then he's, you know, with the tips that you gave him, he goes,
hopefully I won't have to steal again. I'll show all these bastards who's the best forge master here.
Kezra's already gone. He's like, yeah, sure you will.
So Kelda Holrig is the one that had given you this task.
Okay.
So if you want to go back to her, it's after hours, so she's probably, you know, asleep, or out drinking somewhere.
We're fine. We scoured all the bars. We did it.
Oh yeah, because definitely intending to tell her that. Yeah, no, this dude's been fucking everything up.
Yeah,
on purpose. Like, he's a piece of shit. So fuck him.
Well, we rested up before the stakeout, so we're good to just go to the wall, right?
Right.
The middle of the night. We might as well just.
But if it's Chisel Rock we're after, he's already been taken away in handcuffs.
But there could be more in there.
There could be.
There could be. Are we gonna try to infiltrate? There could be triad there, which is what I'm thinking.
In the walls.
In the walls.
You're telling me the walls are made out of the Scarlet Triad?
That's what I'm saying. It's a tackle time.
You got the tackle time. Kendra's like not worried about this guy. Like, he's not going to run away, and even if he does, we'll find him.
Okay, so you guys find Kelda. She is with her massive meaty ham hocks of arm. She's probably arm wrestling people. there's some beefy orc who she just like puts down. Kaboom! She goes walk in. He goes, try that again, and then she goes over and just like flexes on him. And so when you guys walk in, she's like posing.
Well, Garn, our leader, why don't you tell him what just happened?
Sorry, Garn really want to try to set the mood with some better music.
So
you're trying to woo her? Is that what you're saying?
tosses a gold to the local bard. Like, let's get this place more lively in here. And this was Della Hargrave.
Kelda Hallgrave.
Oh, I got it backwards.
He did.
Kelda Hargrave. So it goes over to Kelda. I know this isn't the best time, and congratulations on your win, but we have successfully completed your task.
I see.
So she goes, oh, tell me the story. And she,
well, we got a little time. Kezra, you're good at storytelling, are you not?
Yeah, we found some old dwarf making crappy daggers in the middle of the night. What was his name again?
Brigvins. You ever heard of the smithy?
Oh, Brigvin, the fool.
Yeah, him.
Hey, he's been trying for decades. He keeps pleading his case, prostrating before me. But every time he brings me the shittiest weapons I've ever seen.
Well, he confessed to the crime. He was inspired by someone or something to sabotage the rest of the guild to try to elevate himself. He's still at his booth if you care to deal with him now.
But we don't think he's going anywhere. Given his recent visage from the divine symbol or sign that he might ramble on about.
I see. What sort of things was he talking about?
Well, he was afraid we cannot go into details at this time about where he was placing his weapons, because there's something we need to check on ourselves. We do not want to give you false information to already blame the situation here in town. But I assure you that when we have confirmed information, we will let the whole council know.
I see. Well, not going to arrest him tonight. I want to do it in the day when everyone's working. Make a show of what happens to thieves and forgers. People who make forgeries, not people who forge.
Yes.
Right.
Though I will say, he is an old coot. Four years my younger. I think that perhaps he just got off in the wrong spot. Maybe I do agree that he should atone and pay for his crimes, but I think if he were to be put on a better path, I think, thanks to Kezra here, I think he could just turn a new leaf and actually make something of quality now.
Oh, he's still gonna have to pay for what he did. He's been ruining the reputation of the guild. I'd put out a bunch of fires, one of them almost literal, yesterday with those merchants, but we'll see if he can get off on the right foot after that. Thank you all. I'll have some runes for you tomorrow if you come by.
Well, you're freaking telling me I could have got a room for free this whole time, and I wouldn't. Just kind of warm
up. Oh, here's the gold for what you did the other day. That's what she'll do.
I'm gonna get a second rune, that's what I'm gonna do. Jake's gonna be like, level 20 runes. And I'm just like, can I get a level 9?
Alright, so yeah, she tells you that you can come by tomorrow and she'll have some runes for you. So it's still the middle of the night. What do you guys want to do?
We're going to the wall.
Go to the wall, man.
So, I'll say this. The last task that you guys had is called... You ready for this?
Yeah.
Check the walls.
Perfect.
Checking the walls.
Perfect cover story. We're checking the walls. Why out here?
During the goddamn walls.
So I will smooth this over by Aldjoiner Garnis, who is the council member for the if only I was good at this, Carpenter's Guild. She was in the same bar. And she's just Have you gotten to checking the walls yet?
Well, maybe we're going there right now.
Likely story.
You're in our way, actually.
Now, Kespa.
Do you want the job done or not?
Why was mine last?
You know, it doesn't have to be done at all. We can just go home.
How do you know this is our last task?
Look at all this magic shit. Need your crap? Do I really need your reward? I'm not even here for you.
Chisel Rock was right. We should have thrown you out. Go check the goddamn wall.
I would like to see you try.
God, shut him up.
Well, you know, she's a level 20 arch wizard somehow.
Why aren't they solving all the goddamn problems? They can literally snap their goddamn fingers and make it out.
That's for the peasants to take care of, okay? That's us.
There's always like there's always this thing that like if you ever have like newer players and then like you know the town paladin is like, hey, we really need you to go, you know, rescue this person from these goblins. They're like, why don't you do it? Like,
yeah,
bro, play the game.
It's like, bro, I got other things I'm doing right now.
Laundry to do or something, fire. Man.
Yeah. All right, so you go to the walls.
Go to the walls.
As you are walking out of this one bar, you walk past another one, and a whole ass fight comes rumbling out from the bar that you were walking by. Like a full-on brawl, like Tom and Jerry, smoke all around them, hands flying, fists going, teeth are getting spilled out onto the street.
Kesra's getting jazzed up. He's ready to go.
Finally!
Start looking for an opening.
No, Kesra, no!
Very clearly.
Which dwarf has the most punchable looking face?
Turns around, hits Garn.
Every time I was going to see that in a mosh pit, where it's like there's a mosh pit going on, and then like one guy on the edge just like throws a hand at like another guy, and like, well, we're on the edge. What are you doing? Get in the pit if you want to do that. Okay, I'll say the. I mean, these are commoners, so you know if you get it, you know, roll me athletics as you get in there and start like body checking people.
Yeah, Kesra starts leaving in.
It would be like the same thing. It's just Luca's just kind of just doing more defensive, like pushing people away from him, kind of like a martial art, if anything else. Just get out of here.
Kesra's like a real asshole about it. He goes in and like you can tell he's like faking trying to break up the fight, but really he's just trying to get somewhere where someone will shove him. So he just walks in. He's like, come on, break it up, and he immediately gets shoved and he just socks a guy. Natural 20.
Oh my god.
He's gonna kill someone.
Great. So I just start knocking heads together.
You knock two people's heads together. Somebody tries to grab you by the leg because, you know, they're lower center gravity, so they try to, like, take off your feet, and you just, like, kick them off, and then they fly into somebody else. big old dwarf brawl from, you know, 4 to 6 dwarves are getting involved, and the people are trying to pull them off, too. So they're getting into it to try to stop it. It's a mess. Oh, but you hear someone who's like, I'll fucking kill every last one of you. Hammersong knows what he's doing. Hammersong wants somebody else on that chair in the council. You know it. And he goes, I'll rip your fucking throat out. They are at each other. Bad.
Town's getting out of hand.
Oh, just a bit. And it's probably like the same things that Ambrose was just kind of like overhearing in the bar. You were saying like they're just muttering and just getting more and more like the kettle is starting to steam big time.
Yeah, yeah. This is the steam starting to. You're hearing the whistle of it.
So now that Kezra's had his fun, Garn is Frastin was warned about trying to do things and keep the city quiet, mm-hmm. keep the peace. Looks like he's not doing a really good job. So Garn, he actually lifts up, because I don't know if you noticed, but he has not used his exemplar powers. He's still kind of in this like frame of mind where he thinks he is, you know, war priesting it.
Mm-hmm.
So he does lift up his hands to try to cast Calm Emotions, which is from the Divine Spell list. And he lifts up his hands again, and he just calls out, because usually you speak with the spell. He's like, Brothers, calm yourselves. This is not the time for bickering. There is death beyond the walls. Do you not know? Clamoring for your very lives, and here you are going after each other's throats. Now is not the time for this. You must trust that there is reason behind all of this, and have patience. And
he's just talking.
roll me to diplomacy.
That's right. Yeah, he's got some diplomacy. Yeah. All right. This feels important, so I'm going to break out. I've been wearing a dice necklace this whole time. What you guys didn't realize is that the dice comes out. So I'm going to roll the dice necklace. Ooh, and not much better. Not much better than good old Black Oak Workshop. So it is only going to be a 24. Maybe it's fitting.
Okay.
Perhaps fitting.
These are some normal guys. So after, you know, they probably feel the pain in their face, for one, you know, to kind of like ground them for a minute. They sort of calm down. Thinking about the fact that, like, right, there are bigger problems, right?
Xander's just like, I've got a cone of cold in my back pocket. I could take them all out right now.
Do you have some sort of vengeful spite against this city, Xander?
So much murder.
I really love killing. No. No, he does not say that.
And they sort of look at each other, and then they're like,
better have some answers. You better be telling us. You better be. That's not right. It's not right. Chizzlerock's been on that wall day and night. He slept up there. I've been with him.
And they're like starting to, you know, be like emotionally hurt, right? Because they've been with Chizzlerock, and they've seen, like, you know, him trying his hardest. And then he's been leading them, and he's like, you know, ahead of their guild and stuff like that.
Right.
It does good work. Hammersong gave us no explanation. You gotta say something.
If we can promise you a decent explanation in the next couple of days, will you calm down and take this fight elsewhere? Not with your fellow.
I'm going to bed tonight. Hopefully I'll sleep this off.
And he spits and a tooth comes out.
Kezra's got like two guys in headlocks, and he's got like some other guy's shirt in his mouth. He's just like, oh, he just lets him go. Shoves them all away from him.
Get away from me.
So they sort of go on their way. The guys from the Stonemasons Guild and the guys from the Guild of Arms separate. You successfully defuse the situation there. which could have gotten bad.
Glad I could help.
Yeah.
I was going to say, in Kesra's case, it could have gotten good.
I mean, you know, they could swing at each other, but when they pull weapons, that's when it's like, all right.
I love also, you know, we're like, what, 12th level at this point? We're just like, kids, stop it. Stop it.
Right, definitely.
We could literally kill you with a thought.
In Sandor's case, yes.
It would take me a single action. So
yeah, as we're walking towards the wall, you know, I look maybe to Ambrose, and I'm like, Fraston seemed to not even listen to a word I said. It's always been like that. Always thinks he knows best. He was the holy. He was the cleric. He was the priest. Always bent for the cloth. Always holier than thou. He'd say, if I Torag's beard this, if I Torag's beard that. Well, Sibbet done the silly much good.
I suppose it's more of the old ways that he's stuck in at this point. Hmm. How much older is he than you?
Why, only a handful of years, I think.
Well, unfortunately you just have to teach him the new way of how things are supposed to be done.
Well, that's the thing. Back there, I tried to calm their emotions magically. Gorum has given me divine powers, but I do not seem to be working as they once did. The connection was so strong. But now I lift my hands and nothing happens.
Perhaps there's a missing connection somewhere. Otherwise, your words did seem to have reached the ears of them. You did enough. And honestly, he has no really knowledge of religion stuff like this. Like, he doesn't know anything that's going on with Gorn. He doesn't, exemplars? Don't know what the hell that is. He just know he looks weird every so often, and we heal.
Kesra just says,
we all have trouble with performance from time to time. I mean, I don't personally know what that feels like, but I've heard it's very common. Especially among creatures your age.
You really think so? I haven't really had a chance to talk to the boys about this.
I'm sure they make a potion for that, honestly.
You know, I remember trying to talk to my wife about it, but she didn't quite understand the intricacies of his fine connection with gods. And
how do you people get anything done?
You just gotta try something new with Gorum. You gotta try some new prayer techniques.
Yes, maybe I'll try banging my Morningstar shield more like this instead of like that.
He kind of like does two very similar looking motions.
Yes, I believe that will do it.
He's forgetting it. Oh my gosh. All right. You go to the wall. Let me say this. You, you find a envelope in your pocket that gives you the task once again that you failed to complete the first time. Pretty much what Eldroiner Garnis has told you was that, because a lot of the suspicious things that have been happening, she was worried that, something was getting through the wall. And so she was like, you know, because she's in the carpenter, you know, she helps with that. And so she was like, I just feel like something's off. When she had brought it to Kalarun Chisarok, and then Nalrevin, she kind of got shoved off. Chisarok being arrested, you're like, well, that makes sense.
Mm.
And knowing Nalrevin, you're like, well, okay. He clearly was like, no, I did this. They're good. So she was just sort of like pushed off to the side. So she just wants you guys to just sort of like patrol the wall, make sure everything's good. You guys are clearly like magically inclined. And so there are runes placed all along it, and wards and stuff like that to help keep everything out. When you guys go down, the guards up there, that they allow you to go out and just be on like the other side of the wall and check the runes.
This is like the danger side.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. All right. All yeah. right.
But with all the light and stuff like that, it takes, you know, the like 10, 15 minutes to get to Sagarok because, like, you know, there's a separation between.
Yeah.
Anyway. So when you get to this wall, you guys can. It takes a long time to walk it. It is the Great Wall of China big, but it's pretty big. It'll take some time to go through and like inspect each one. So go ahead and make an Arcana or a crafting check.
If only we had a wizard at the party.
Right, I hear they're pretty useful.
And this is to check the runes and check the overall structure of the wall, which is what she was concerned about.
Okay.
Looks good to me.
Not terrible, honestly.
That's a wall.
36 for Arcana.
Ooh, oh, you okay. Beat me. I got a 33.
Damn, I got a 33 as well.
Dang! Whoa,
okay.
It's like we're a party of spell people.
I know. It's like I know spell thingy.
It's like an S of Magic.
I can also do crafting if there's, like, crafting-specific knowledge that...
I was about to say, Sandor probably had, like, a hand in upkeeping these runes, so...
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, yeah. That's why when you go over, you're like, I did that one, and I did that one, and I did
You know what, Sandor? You get a +8 to that roll, so you're good.
So when you get to a certain part in the wall, sort of on, like, the western portion of it, so if we go back to the map, I can show you that.
Oh yeah.
Let me see
that beautiful
love
map.
A good city map.
There's that beautiful bean for this.
Look at that.
Cool.
So there's the western wall, center wall, and right wall of the barricade.
Weird they would name
so on the
west, center, and right.
Yeah.
No, they were decided by committee.
Yeah. You don't want to overcomplicate it.
See, this is what happens when you have a council of 16 people rolling the city.
Nothing ever fucking gets it.
I went west. Well, I went right. Guys, we'll compromise.
Yeah. So the western portion of the barricade is where you start to feel some irregularities. And it's, you know, that when you were here and you had done it once, like the putting it up took a little bit more time for some reason, and you're not sure why, right? And you're looking at the structurally, it's like fine. You're looking at it, and you're like, yeah, there's like nothing wrong with it, but there's some sort of magic that's like interfering with it. Imagine like two signals that are like kind of like going, you know, like overlapping. And, like, there's some, like, distortion. There's, like, some sort of distortion in the ward on, like, one section of the wall.
There's something wrong with the section of the wall. The wards are... they're off something. It's hard to tell.
Yeah, can I, like, get a closer look, or is there any way to investigate further?
I was about to say, I can get a closer look.
Yeah, if you want to roll me, go ahead and roll me, do another Arcana check, and then I can give you guys a +2, especially since, Nolrevin had put these up and Sandor, you were here helping him with that.
Yeah.
So yeah, go and give yourselves a +2.
Same exact roll, 36.
I got a 36 too this time. That's sweet +2, man.
Yeah. You keep looking it over, and there's just some sort of strain on it. Go ahead and did anybody try crafting it?
I can.
Okay.
Would me physically getting closer to the rune on the wall help?
I mean, you're as close as you can possibly get. It's not, it's a ward against undead, so you can walk right up to it, no problem.
Now I roll poorly.
Ah.
36 didn't do it, huh?
36 did not. So
wow.
Wow.
Well, it gave you the success, which told you about the irregularity, but
right.
Is there any physical, like we've talked about the magical disruption? Is there any physical disruption?
Yeah. So do the crafting check, and then we'll see if you get that one.
Do I get a +2 on that?
Correct. Yes. You got +2 on this as well.
Oh, thank Christ. Okay.
40.
Whoa! Oh my Sick. Gosh!
Okay. So, along this western portion where you guys are, there's a subtle distortion of the stone that seems to be affecting the magic itself. This, like, sign of repetitive strain on the stonework that's also affecting the ward, right? When you get to this and you're looking at it, you're seeing that, like, if I work in home building, so, like, I know this kind of stuff. When you get to, and you're looking at sort of the stonework and you're looking at it and you're like, there's something happening here. It's almost like there's, like, a foundation issue. And with a 40, you look at whatever crack or whatever distortion is in the wall, and it goes down, and you're like, something has to be deep under this wall.
Something's digging.
Deep under this wall.
Okay.
How do we get down there?
I don't think pass wall works on the ground.
No. Can we enter, can we get, like, inside the wall and, like, look, see if there's some tunnel underneath the wall? Like, from out here, there's no, it's just ground, right?
Yeah.
But is there any, can we, like, go inside the wall? Is it?
Yeah, so, yeah, you can go inside the wall. If you spend time looking around there, you kind of see the same thing. So it just seems there's, like, you know, like, a bubble or, like, you know, a sort of, like, there's, like, a mound of the stonework that, like, many of the dwarves just probably walk over every day because they, you know, are patrolling this constantly. So, but for you, and like I said, that 40 again, I'm just going to carry that over, that, like, there's something, like, deep underground. It, you know, I forget how deep Kovlar is, but it's like something is deeper under Kovlar, under this wall, that seems to be disrupting not only the stone, but the magical ward that is supposed to be protecting the city.
That's a bit horrifying, actually.
But there's no access to find this. Sounds like we just need to report it.
No. So, I'll say this. You guys have checked all along the wall. At a certain point, you get to the other side of the wall, the inside. So, like, on the Kovlar side of the wall. Mm-hmm. And you continue following what seems to be, like, this, like, disruption in the stone, even the natural stone. And there's just, like, some feeling, whether it's just some innate thing that, like, dwarves have, where it's, like, you can feel something under your feet from, you know, generations and eons of, like, being akin to the stone. And there's just some sense that you guys get that, like, it goes deeper into Kovlar. And you go down into, go past the barricade. Go ahead and roll me perception checks. Because now you guys are, like, putting all of these things together, and you're getting all of these details. And, like, there's something just amiss here.
Yeah, you can see that every, I don't know, maybe 15, 20 feet, like, Garn will just, like, instinctively place his hand, like, on the earth. Like, maybe, like, one hand, two hands. He'll, like, grab some of, like, the stone and the dirt in his hands, and he'll just have it run through. And you just see him, like, kind of shaking his head. Like, ever since you guys had, like, pointed that out to him, he's really getting, like, a feel for the ground beneath him. And he's like, I feel it now. It doesn't feel right. And you said roll a perception?
Yeah.
And, I don't know, does Garn, like, trip and hit his head on a stone and, like, pass out? Because that's a nat 1.
Oh my god.
This seems weird. And then he slips.
But there is something about this wall and something under it that you guys are on the cusp of. When you keep following this sort of trail, this like feeling that you have, and it's there's something within you, Sandor, that just aches you. It's like this draw that you're like, there's just something going on, and you like follow this like feeling. It's like this just this innate thing within you, more than them, more than Garn.
So what happens eventually is you guys sort of, you tune in to this banging that you hear, this rhythmic banging. And it's this tone that seems to just like offset everything, and you lock in on it, and it's this frequency almost. And with a roll so high, you're able to follow it. You end up walking down from the wall, and you can barely hear this banging, but you've keyed in on it so well that it's like still there in your mind, and you're able to sort of trace it. And you walk for 10, 15 minutes away from the wall as you keep your nose down and just keep going. And eventually, Sandor, you start to hear voices. And these voices, no one else can hear. But you get to a point when the banging becomes louder and the voices become louder, and you continue to follow it. Until all of a sudden you come upon what is clearly an abandoned building that has such a horrible and cursed energy around it that nobody has stepped inside of it for what seems like generations. And just as you identify it, the banging and the voices completely stop.
Oh, fuck.
And I'll see you guys next time. Oh.
I hear the drums.
Drums in the deep.
The way it's...